Welcome in to Family Devotions with Religionless Christianity. I'm so grateful that you're here. I'm happy that you're joining me as we continue our walk through the book of Genesis, today discussing Genesis chapter 31. After roughly 20 years of service in the land of Haran to his uncle Laban, Jacob begins the journey back to his land, the land of Canaan. Now, this didn't just happen of his own decision or desire, but as a command of the Lord. The chapter opens with Jacob overhearing the sons of Laban discussing Jacob and framing him almost as a thief against their household, likely in response to God blessing Jacob by growing his flock of spotted and speckled lambs. Jacob also sees that Laban was no longer pleased with him. Verse 2 says of Laban, And Jacob saw the face of Laban, and behold, it was not friendly toward him as formerly. So the house that God used Jacob to bless so handsomely was no longer a welcoming place for him. God then speaks to Jacob, telling him to return to the land of your fathers and to your kin in verse 3. And it ends with words every believer so longs to hear. God says, And I will be with you. Oh, brothers and sisters, there could be no more hopeful, joyful, encourage-building words than to hear our God declare that He is with us. And so with this command, Jacob gathers his family, gives them his instructions, and they set off back to the land of Canaan. Here, though, even after hearing from God Himself, we see Jacob's old nature rear its ugly head, deceiving Laban by fleeing with his family and flock while Laban was away. And when Laban finds out about this, he is probably rightfully upset and sets off after Jacob. After 7 days in pursuit, Laban catches Jacob. But before he could confront him, he has his own miraculous encounter with God. God comes to Laban in a dream and warns him in verse 24, saying to beware lest he speak to Jacob either good or bad. Laban then goes and meets with Jacob at his tent to, in a sense, vent his frustration. Because Jacob didn't just set off for Canaan with his family, but it was Laban's family as well. And I think for those of us with children or grandchildren, we can sympathize a bit with Laban here. I would guess he loved his family and he was angry to lose them, especially in the deceitful way when Jacob fled. Though here again, as we have discussed in previous chapters, this is the law of sowing and reaping at work. Laban had deceived Jacob and reaped deceit on himself. And this is a good lesson for all of us. After this meeting, Laban and Jacob gather a heap of stones and establish a covenant that neither of them would ever enter each other's land with the intention of harming the other. And with this, Laban blesses his daughters and departs. Now, as with all scripture, there's a lot going on in this chapter and a lot of lessons to be learned, but the one that jumps out to me is God's dream that he gives to Laban. Now, Jacob had a mission: return to the promised land. And God wasn't going to allow anything to stand in the way of that happening. He did ordain it, after all. However, that's not what interests me. It's that God commanded Laban not to even attempt to thwart that plan. Now, we know Laban couldn't have thwarted it. I mean, who can thwart God's plan? We see this laid out in a terrifying and humbling fashion in God's discourse with Job, in Job chapters 38 through 41. You know, for example, Job 41 verses 7 and 8, God says, I will ask you, and you make me know. Will you really annul my judgment? The answer to that question is, of course, absolutely not. But Laban listens. He vents his frustration to Jacob about how he left, but he doesn't attempt to lure him back with promises of blessing or coerce him back through threats. He obeys God's commands. And you know, it's our attempts to either be in line with God or in opposition to God that determines if we're walking in righteousness or not. Now, we can't be ultimately righteous. We need Christ's perfect righteousness, but we can act in righteousness or unrighteousness, and that is directly tied to adherence to God's commands. The unsaved world will try and tell you that people are inherently good and they inherently know good from bad. They'll attempt to lecture on loving your neighbor without ever really understanding what love is, because they reject the one who defines what love really is. But if we have placed our faith in Christ, then this chapter should serve as a simple reminder that our obedience is worship. We cannot thwart God, but we can store up treasure for ourselves in eternity by getting our lives in line with God's will. So let's stay studied up in His Word, so we know His commands, we know His will, and let's stay prayed up, seeking the Spirit, so we can actually receive His guidance. And speaking of prayer, let's end with our prayer from the Scottish Psalter of 1595, praying today from Psalm 5. O good God, our King and Creator, seeing we have our whole trust in Thee, and do worship Thee in spirit and truth, despise not, we pray, the sighs and prayers of Thy poor servants, oppressed and afflicted by Thy enemies, and keep us continually under Thy protection until we be glorified with our Head and Savior, Jesus Christ, Thy Son. Amen.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.